Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Hello and welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for March 21st, 2017. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the Miami Open from Key Biscayne, Florida, as well as review the BNP Paribas Open from Indian Wells, California. This week's podcast is brought to you by Top Notch Tennis Tours. Make sure to hit them up for the upcoming clay court season, which includes trips to Monte Carlo, Rome, and then the ensuing French Open. Before we begin this week's show, let's introduce our co-host, Parsa. How are you today, my friend?
Great. Listening to that, I want to go to Monte Carlo, Rome, and Paris, too.
You got it, man. And that's why Top Notch is there, because they'll take care of you from A to Z. So, my friend, we had, the end of Indian Wells, which ended, concluded in amazing fashion with Alina Vesnina winning the women's title for her biggest career title at the age of 30. Incredible effort from her. And then we had the one and only Roger Federer defeating his buddy Stan Wawrinka, straight sets in the final to win his fifth Indian Wells title, 90th career title overall. Back to number 6 in the world, number 1 potentially in the rearview mirror for RF, and just, an outstanding effort. We'll get into that, and then we got a lot more with Miami starting tomorrow on Wednesday over here. So, Parsa, lots to cover. Let's rewind just a tad here. Let's get back to Sunday. We had the women's final with Vesnina taking out Kuznetsova in the finals. Brutal match over 3 hours in 1-2 minutes. We had, Vesnina coming back from losing a heartbreak 70-minute first set to rebound in a breaker, winning the seventh set 7-5, and then taking the third set after being down, I believe, 4-1. So just a tremendous effort. I have some ties with Vesnina through Top Notch Management, which is also, they also run Top Notch Tours, with Sam Duval being her agent, as well as Andrew Chimera, who's, the owner of Grand Slam Tennis Tours and Top Notch. And they've just done a wonderful job with her. They signed her with Nike Court. You can imagine how happy they are with her result here. And just a real story of perseverance, if you think about it, right? Because this is a player who's had a solid career, known for to be an exceptional doubles player throughout the course of her career. Let's note that she did make the semifinals of Wimbledon last year, which is a tremendous result, but then comes in here, out of nowhere, really, not necessarily out of nowhere, but I can guarantee you that no one had picked her to win. And then she, lo and behold, she comes through, wins 1,000 WTA points, over $1,000,000 in prize money, and, the rest of this year is going to be like a joke for her, like going to play free, and definitely has a chance now of making Singapore. So what did you make of her run to the title? And you actually, I think you called Kuznetsova to make a deep run here, which she made the finals, which was a tremendous call based on, her, durability and her consistency off the ground. And, we can really count on her to make some deep runs just based on her game style.
I did make that call, Nima, so thank you for pointing that out. I thought that was a very astute one that I made myself.
Yes.
Clearly based on some opinions that I've made over the years about her game and the speed of the court surface and her grittiness and toughness. And that brings me to Vesnina, and that's exactly what she displayed. Just an incredible mentality, battling every point, every game, every set that she played. And at the end, she was the one standing on the top of the mountain. It was a tremendous result for her, for her camp, and for, to sort of validate her Wimbledon run last year. That she's capable of making good things happen when everything is lined up properly. And what a huge confidence boost. And just like you said, the rest of the year is free. She can go out there and do the same. She can go out there and do a little bit worse. She can go out there and do a little bit better. And all of those are going to give her new opportunities that she hasn't had before. And so congratulations to her. It's quite incredible.
Yeah, and one last shout out to Top Notch Management with Sam Duvall. You know, couldn't be happier. Those guys have been grinding. They just opened up their own boutique agency at the beginning of last year. So, I mean, just a year and a bit in, and you can already see the success that they're, you know, encountering. So, you know, amazing. Happy for them. And let's keep going with that. And now as we move, obviously, to the men's side, it's not, you know, lots of stuff to talk about there with RF winning another tremendous result. You know, Parsa, I was thinking to myself, everybody loves to win. And you saw, you know, Stan at the end calling Federer an asshole and joking around. And it was just funny to see that. And then you had, you know, Federer so happy that he won, pumping his hands, and just went back to when he beat Safin in Hamburg back in, I don't know, 2003, 2002. Forgive me if that's wrong. But, you know, with the ponytail and, you know what I mean? Like, you saw how happy and elated he was back then. And now, you know, 15 years later, he's still winning Masters 1000s and Grand Slams. And he still has that same passion. And does he look at this victory like, oh, cool, I won it? Because I saw some pictures of him yesterday in Miami now with his four kids on the beach. And, you know, they're just doing these GQ spreads. And what can't this guy do? You know what I'm saying? Taking it all in stride. And, you know, it's just, it's amazing to witness this guy's brilliance both on and off the court. But does he look at this title like, is it just something cool that happened to him? Or what do you think his mindset is, you know, surrounding this whole tournament? Like, he, you know, let's break it down. Let's be honest, right? Like, he beat, you know, Stefan Robert easily in the second round match, got her by in the first round. Then he had a tough match with Johnson, 6-6. I think that was his toughest encounter. You know, Johnson played really well. Pretty much rolled sock, I think, in the semis there. Walk over Kyrgios, who had some food poisoning. And then with Stan, it was, you know, not a blowout, but, you know, routine victory. So he played only four matches to win a massive tournament. All straight sets, lost his serve only once. So tremendous effort. But what do you think the whole vibe was around this victory and, you know, how, like, his mindset is overall now that it's in the books?
Told it's a lesson for everybody who wants any sort of performance in their life, and that is, he went out and he did what he had planned on doing while he had that big break, what he had built in Australia. He continued to play the style that he wanted to play, and mentally he had the toughness to continue to do that, where in the past he was always been capable of, let's say, coming over his backhand, but he would go away from it or shy away from it if it was in a tricky spot. And what he's doing differently now is that he's sticking with what he knows is going to get him the success that he seeks. And this is just a reaffirmation of exactly what he thought would work is actually working. And he's in form. He's physically looking very good. He's mentally looking very good, emotionally very controlled. There's a lot of good happening for Federer right now. And he's in the mindset of validation. Hey, I took this time off to heal my body, and it was worth it. And I'm going to continue, and I'm going to ride this wave as long as I can. And I think he is enjoying every single moment out there, Nima, because who knows if it's going to be his last. And that was my question. I think I had that question for you or a friend of mine. That was the only real question here, is not his playing ability, because he's not going to diminish his playing ability. He's going to continue to play like this. The only question is, will the injury bug hit him a little bit quicker now that he's aging? Or has he really aged like that fine wine and only continues to get better and healthier because he gets smarter with his training, smarter with his nutrition, smarter with all his sleep and his recovery and all sorts of things? You know, I don't have an answer for you, Nima, other than he is taking it all in right at this second and enjoying everything like the class act that he is, and he deserves this, Nima. He is going to go down as the greatest player of all time, and he's been through it all. He's had us saying that, you know, Nadal is going to be greater, or Djokovic is going to be greater. They're going to catch up. They're going to go by him, and those guys are finding out how difficult it is to be so consistent for such a long period of time, and just incredible. And like I said, he's taking this to heart, and he's going for it every single time he steps out there, and he's going to enjoy every single time he's out there.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the advancements in technology, racket strings, racket, you know, head sizes, and that's something we're talking about off air, and Federer had alluded to that, and I've had that conversation with a few of my colleagues and friends throughout the last week or so. You know, the racket head size, you know, Federer going from a 90 to a 97 a few years back, and then him finally, you know, hitting millions of backhands throughout the last 6 months that he was injured and coming back in Australia, I think has really, you know, you can see the dividend payout, because he's coming in there now and just ripping his backhand. And he said, he's very honest, he said, my backhand has gotten much better, serve is about the same, my forehand perhaps has got a little bit worse, but that's a relative thing because of how great it was. And it's just allowing him to hit it earlier, because you can't really step in the court and combat that much, you know, of a heavy ball and that much friction from your, like a Jack Sock forehand or an Nadal forehand, a lefty, you know, with a smaller face racket, because you just, you're not going to get that clean hit time and time again. You might hit one or two backhands, but you can't hit like five or six. And I think that's kind of what he's looking at now. And it's just an incredible transformation. I don't think he's ever hit his backhand better. He just completely, you know, he took Nadal to the woodshed. It was just, it's amazing to see how it took, you know, proven game plan by the Spaniard throughout, you know, numerous matches has completely failed at this stage. And Nadal, when they play going forward, has to really come up with something new. Because he talked about, Nadal talked about, yeah, I didn't execute, you know, I don't think it really has anything to do with execution, because his ball is not, you know, with Federer taking that ball early, especially on a hard court or a grass court, because it's not going to jump up, it's not going to hurt him. He's going to have to go for something else now. Maybe mix in some angles, some get into the net like he did against Lucas Pouille to fight, you know, to a fifth set, even though he lost it at the US Open. He's going to have to be a little bit craftier, because I think if he wants to stand toe-to-toe with Federer on the baseline, with Nadal also getting older, not getting as much jump on his ball, I think that's going to, you know, spell curtains for him. He's going to continue to lose to Federer, except for on a clay court. That's to be determined, because we haven't seen that yet. But
you know, and if I can chime in here,
yeah,
and a function of him taking the ball early, Federer taking the ball early and pushing Nadal onto his back foot, and that makes his ball not jump into Federer and makes it jump up.
Yes.
But Federer has taken that early, and the up is not the problem. It's the up and punch that is the problem. And so Nadal's unable, especially off his serves, now Federer's just stepping in. He's unable to get that body weight into the ball to be able to get it to really thrust through Federer. And he's just simply taking time away from him. He's just all over him right from the start. And as long as he's in form, it's going to continue this way until Nadal, you know, really has to serve out wide, hit the open court, get Federer moving to his right, then deliver the big forehand to the backhand and get Federer to be on his back foot. That's when he's gonna have to go to a really patterns that you haven't seen him play against Federer before. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see what he comes up with in response to Federer's change.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that you're going to see this week in Miami, it's going to be some good stuff. We'll get to that draw in a second. But nice to see both of them relatively. I mean, obviously, Federer's doing incredible things. But, you know, Nadal's at 5 in the world now. Federer's at 6 in the world. So they're coming up nice and back realistically where they belong. Let's be honest. And great to see for tennis fans. You know, I see the interaction and just the love on, you know, all the social media forums, as well as the website with the numbers up. And it's really because of these two guys, realistically, because they're just such transcending athletes, even outside of just the avid tennis fan. So great to see. And, you know, Parsa, as we close the, you know, the book on an amazing tournament in Indian Wells, once again, you know, kudos to Larry Ellison and all of the staff, Tommy Haas, tournament director, and everybody who's done such a wonderful job there. We move gears now to Miami, which is the second Masters 1000 and big WTA event of the season. Unfortunately, once again, Serena Williams is out of commission. She's hopefully regrouping for the clay court season. Let's see how many events she plays there. But we have a draw at hand, so let's break that down and get right into it. We have Angie Kerber returning back to the number one player in the world as a result of Serena pulling out of IW in Miami. So Kerber, for me, has a workable draw. And, you know, I'm going to say one thing, Parsa. This is really, Kerber needs to do something in the tournament. Because, you know, I mean, she's number one in the world. And she's, I think she stays here till mid to early April, no matter what Serena does, no matter how bad or good she does as well too. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how she, you know, she plays in this tournament. But she has a very workable draw. I mean, potentially Bertens in the fourth round and quarterfinals against Kuznetsova with Venus Williams lurking there. How do you see her, you know, her quarter developing? Just because I think that she really needs to do something in this tournament, bottom line. And I think the conditions will suit her, to be honest. I think the bounce and everything on the Miami hard courts will favor her. I'd like to think that she's in great shape, being the number one player in the world. I probably know that for a fact. And I think I'm going to put her right into the semifinals. What are your thoughts?
Strong call. You know, not something that I expected you to say, as there are a couple floaters there. You know, Venus, who didn't seem to be 100% healthy, or 100%, I guess healthy is the right word for the condition that she has. I think she could do a lot of good things here. She's grown up pretty much in Southern Florida. And,
yes, for and sure. Yeah,
is very used to those conditions and, yes. And very hungry, Nima, and very just... I don't know. I'm getting this real interesting vibe from Williams. I think she can do great things. At the same time, I think it's going to be a tough matchup because I think she's going to face Kuznetsova later on down. You know, I think it's the third round there or the fourth round.
Fourth round, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's going to be an absolute barn burner. And who knows what Kuznetsova has left? Who knows what Williams has left? And that does leave Kerber as the logical person to go through, but has she been playing the tennis to go through, Nima? That's the question
she,
I have.
She hasn't, and that's right. What. But I think that she definitely needs to. So I'm trying to give her that push, that karma.
And I think you're right. I think need is a very strong fuel to get you to play the way you need to. So,
there you go. Yeah,
your reasoning is very, very good, and I do. I have to see that my Williams and my Kuznetsova, the winner of that one, is going to go down to Kerber, and I'm going to have her in the semi as well.
Okay, and as we move to the second quarter, we have Halep, who definitely will, you know, could use some form. We have Caro Garcia, another top notch management player. We have Joanna Konta, who I'm looking, you know, forward to her doing something. We'll see if Bouchard can finally win a match. I saw some pictures of her at the Taste of Tennis last night, so hopefully, you know, she has her head on straight because she's going to need, you know, to put together some results because it's getting realistically a little bit embarrassing for her with all of the, you know, the fanfare and everything that she gets and promotional stuff. And then we have Keys.
You know, she gets that comparison to Kournikova, Nima, but Kournikova was top 10 in the world for years.
And she made semis of Wimbledon. You know, Bouchard had that amazing year in 14. We can't take that away from her. Finals of Wimbledon, semis of a couple other majors. But you got to do something. It's not like, if anything, she should have got better since then. But she's you know, she's digressed and she hasn't really figured out how to improve her game. And, you know, very good athlete. But it's, I don't know. I really don't know. We're not there. We're not there on the day-to-day. I can only go on what I'm seeing. And I'd like to think that after being in tennis for over 20, 25 years, I got a pretty good eye for this. And after coaching for both, you know, both of us have coached and played and done all of these things on a day-to-day grind for so many years that we kind of get that vibe when we see a player and what they're all about. I think we have that. I don't think anybody can take that away from us after all of these years. And especially with me watching, you know, zillions of hours of tennis on all these channels and covering the sport, I kind of have a sense of it, guys. You know what I mean? And so I think that I don't like what I'm seeing from Bouchard these days. However, I do think that there's a serious player in there somewhere that can resurrect and do some good things. So I hope it's here. I mean, she's had a lot of exposure to Florida as well throughout her career. So, you know, these conditions should suit her. She's got a pretty decent draw. I mean, Stovzer is a player, but hasn't been playing the best tennis of her career. She's got Barty in the first round and then maybe Cara Garcia in the third. So it's not going to be a cakewalk by any means, but she's going to have to earn it because she's unseeded. She has to play a first round match too. But looking at this quarter as an overall, I'm going with the returning Madison Keys, American, to come through and make the semifinals here. What do you have, Parsa?
I think it's a terrific pick.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Joanna Konta. I think,
yes,
you know, she needs to do something.
I'm a fan of hers as well.
Yeah, I'm a fan of hers, and I think she needs to keep going. And what I don't want to see is her having another flame out and, you know, sort of not being able to back up her form of the last year. And I think she is the better player than she has put forth. And I think that because of her needs, I think this is a necessary one to make it happen for herself.
Okay. So you got Konta and I got Keys. As we move to quarter number three, led by Muguruza, who has potentially Sibulkova in her quarter. Other notable names here are Konju, Gavrilova, Vesnina, reigning Indian Wells champion, Wozniacki, who, got to give it to her, has been playing some great ball, and then Zhang as well, too. Zhang as well, too. So we have, Muguruza, again, she's going to have, you know, Roland Garros in her rear view. As she goes through this tournament, she's got that Latin vibe. She's going to be feeling the beat. I know she's been doing some dancing on social media. She's feeling good with the Miami vibe, South Beach vibe. Sibulkova, to me, is another player who will thrive under these conditions. So I think she's going to be dangerous here. Vesnina, to me, I think will win a couple matches, but might be tired emotionally from what she had to go through. So I would say, if she gets past the third or fourth round, I would be surprised. And I think this definitely does leave the door open for Sibulkova to make the semis, and that's going to be my pick. How about yourself?
Oh, I mean, what a terrific pick, Nima, because I was thinking the same thing. But this is a danger section here. I mean,
it is.
Any
yeah.
one of these players can actually come through. Whether it is Muguruza, Wozniacki can definitely make a run. Vesnina go back to back. You know what? It's there for her to do it. She can grind out everybody in this draw, to be honest with you. Gosh, Nima, I'm going with it. It's for me. It's going to be Elena Vesnina. I think she's going to grind her way to the semis here. I'm looking at the draw. I'm looking at the matchups. Who's really going to put her in a lot of trouble? Each one of these people, she can go out, be very methodical, and I mean, I guess some of it depends on the court speed, which I don't know yet, but do you have any clue on that? Anything from Twitter?
I think it's playing a bit quicker than Indian Wells, but obviously the humidity is, you know, again, these tournaments are very contrasting because there's day and night. Indian Wells day and night is like two different tournaments. Because at night it's freezing, during the day it's super hot. Miami's got the humidity. During the day it's going to be very fast. At night it's going to be slower. I think it's definitely much quicker than Indian Wells. That's what I would say, but I don't think it's tremendously quicker. I just think that the humidity, you know, does different things to the ball. It's going to make it livelier in different ways, right?
Yeah, and there's only one player that adjusts that way, and that is Sibulkova, so your pick is spot on there.
Yeah.
I can't agree with you more there, but just for the sake of contrast, I'm going to put in another player who can change her game slightly to go to different conditions, and that's going to be Carol Wozniacki. I think we're looking at a semifinal here for her.
Yeah, and I really like with Woz. Again, I don't think she'll win this tournament, but she's kind of doing that Thomas Burdick thing, where we can start to now, throughout the last few months, pencil her into the last eight, the last four of pretty much everything that she plays, just based on her consistency and looks like her renewed fitness and form, let's be honest, right? So now moving to the last quarter, we have Pliskova, you know, big serving Czech who made the semis in Indian Wells. We have Radwanska here who's also looking for some form. She's had some racket issues going back and forth between racket manufacturers. So let's see how she pulls up here. We have Slitovina, who's had some great results. Coco Vandeweghe, I think these conditions would also suit her. Lucic Baroni, another informed player from the Australian Open. So this is, to me, a tough one to pick. I think I'm going to go, my heart tells me Pliskova, but my head tells me Radwanska. So it depends what I'm going to listen to right now, Parsa. And I think with everything that I've seen so far this year, I don't know how well Pliskova responds to heat. She hasn't proven to me that she's an amazing player when it's super hot outside and very humid. So I don't think I'm going to put her in there. And Radwanska plays that silky type of, you know, Federer-esque game where she's not expending a lot of energy. She's so smooth, even though I know she works hard, but she's got a very smooth game. So let's go for Radwanska here to make the semifinals. What are your thoughts?
You know, and I have the opposite. So I had Radwanska in my heart. Then I had Pliskova in my head.
Yes.
And then I saw Lucic Baroni in the way for Radwanska, and I don't like that matchup for her.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go by process of elimination. I was going to call it the need tournament because Radwanska really needs this result.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I'm going against the need, and I think it's going to be form, and it's Pliskova going to go through for me.
Okay. So, Parsa, let's rewind now, going back to the top of this. I had Kerber making the semis versus Keys. I have Keys taking out Kerber. And then in the bottom, now I have Sybil Kova facing against Radwanska. I'll have Sybil Kova facing Madison Keys. And then I'm going to have Sybil Kova winning this tournament. What do you have?
Yeah, I have Kerber on the top. And I've got Konta, Kerber Konta. I think that's going to be a great match. If it does get like, if it works out that way, I think it's going to be fantastic. It could be a great, you know, just a great contrast there. Wozniacki versus Pliskova in the bottom. I'm going to have Pliskova going through there. I'm going to have Kerber going through there. I think we're going to have a 1-2. And I'm going to have Pliskova holding the title.
Yeah, that's, again, a good bet. And she's, you know, one of the informed players of last year, dating back to when she won in Cincy Finals of U.S. Open. So hard courts, I think, are definitely her forte. And we're going to continue to see some great results from here throughout the rest of 2017. So, Parsa, as we move now towards the men's draw, with, unfortunately, Andy Murray out with an elbow injury, Novak Djokovic, again, defending champion, out with an elbow injury. We have Stan the Man, Stan and Deliver, Wawrinka, coming in as the number one seed in Miami, Parsa. Number three player in the world. It's just amazing to see him at that point. And, you know, let's spend a second before we get into the draw quickly here. We had Murray going out to Pospisil in his second round match in a shocker in Indian Wells. A bunch of double faults. Again, I didn't see anything visible that his elbow was hurting, but the serve did let him down. And, you know, he bowed out there, and it's very unfortunate. We really do wish him well. Interesting. He got, you know, he was practicing a little bit after that loss and in Indian Wells. There was a great picture of him, you know, at night practicing with nobody in the stadium, and that's something that you would expect from a number one ranked player in the world. Then he got back to Miami early, practicing down there, you know, a tournament that he also lives at. So he's right there, so he's feeling very comfortable, and conditions definitely do suit him, being a multiple former winner. But unfortunately, he has to withdraw. Now he's getting ready for the clay court season, and it's going to be interesting to me. You know, you got to think that Murray right now in his career, he was so close to winning the French Open last year, that against Djokovic, great match there. He had an amazing clay court run, has completely transformed his career on the dirt. So he's got everything going there. But he's going to have to step it up too, because he's not really playing like the number one player in the world right now. Let's be honest, it's pretty far from that. Lost fourth round Australian, won Dubai, which was a good result. And then, you know, second round Indian Wells, not playing Miami. So he hasn't made it past the quarters of any of the first three biggest tournaments of the year. So, you know, talk a second about Murray here before we get into Djokovic.
Yeah, you sort of have to expect it, though. You know, what he did at the end of last year was tremendous. And what goes up must come down. And I think we're seeing the down part of Murray, and I think it's wise of him to pull out here, to rest up, to try to recharge the batteries, and to get himself mentally, physically, emotionally in the right frame of mind to make a run, because really for him, I think the clay matters, but I think Wimbledon is where it's at for him, and I think he needs to be healthy going in there, and he doesn't want to risk any further damage or further injury, and keep the tendonitis down and keep the inflammation down in the body, and recharge, like I said, everything else, go enjoy his family, and we'll see him on the clay courts.
Yeah, and then we had an ensuing withdrawal from Novak Djokovic, who's had a tremendous run here in Miami and Indian Wells, winning back-to-back 3 years in a row, something unprecedented that you haven't seen from any other player, maybe perhaps never see again, to be quite frank, Parsa. And again, we had some conversation about Djokovic pulling out. To me, it didn't look like, again, I'm not a doctor, but to me it looked like he didn't have an injury really in Indian Wells. Then there was some feedback where he was taking some painkillers, so there was obviously an injury. There's facts on that. But he played a bunch of matches, right? He beat Edmund, then he beat Del Potro, then he played Kyrgios, and he lost to Kyrgios, who has second win in a row against him. And then we had him playing in a bunch of doubles matches, and he was trying super hard there, hitting the ball pretty clean and hard. To me, his serve has been a little bit off since the summer last year, even when he came back, lost at Wimbledon, then he was at the Rogers Cup tournament that he won, but he wasn't, to me, playing at his full capacity. So, again, a lot of question marks here, because we have two guys who, in Murray and Djokovic, who have dominated on the hard courts, playing the best tennis from anybody on hard courts now for a few years, both struggling right now with injuries and, confidence and a couple other issues, and, again, Djokovic has a ton of points to defend now going into the French Open, right? He lost early in Monte Carlo, so you'd like to think he's going to come back there, have a great tournament because he lives there and he's going to be used to the conditions and he has no points to defend. Then he's going to go into Madrid tournament that he won, Rome tournament that he lost to the finals in Murray, and then French Open where he won. So a lot of points coming off there. Talk a little bit about Djokovic, Parsa, and how you think that now he has to rebound as he goes forward into the clay court season, missing Miami.
Yeah, first of all, talking about elbows and serves, that is where it shows up. So,
yeah.
Maybe there's been something going on there for a while, and we just haven't known. So that is definitely something to be mindful of and to watch. I mean, Djokovic has dominated this section of the calendar for almost 4 years, besides this year, the last three have been it's been a tremendous thing.
And, yeah, it's amazing.
Amazing. And he obviously, being a great champion, there is some work that he needs to do in order to find his balance again and to regain his tremendous form. And it's funny. It's both these guys can sort of be pulled together when they're on a little bit of a down, then all of a sudden you're seeing Federer and maybe Wawrinka going to step in and the other cast of characters are going to just chomp at the bit to try to get their titles and to try to get their ranking points until those guys can return back to form. So I think, it's a pretty, pretty tremendous thing. I think Djokovic, it's a matter of putting it all together again. And obviously he's done it before. And he stayed consistent for a very long time, and not everyone's going to just have a smooth sail through an entire career. You've seen it with everybody, literally. And I think this is one of these periods for Nole. I think what he'll end up doing is figuring it out and become the great champion again that he is. Because the truth be told, he's got a tremendous amount of firepower in his game and a tremendous amount of variety in his game, and he can play in all different kinds of dimensions. And he's volleying better than he's ever volleyed and doing some things better than he's ever done. He just needs to now put it all together. And that does take some time to marinate. And, it is a big pressure time. You're right, going onto the dirt. And, he is defending quite a bit, but maybe he needs to not defend Nima. I don't know. And take all that pressure off and then let him play free again. Because if you remember, I always go back to his US Open match, years ago against Federer, down match point, just takes a massive cut at the ball, the ball ends up a foot inside the baseline. It's just some amazing, incredible stuff.
And that turned it all around for him.
Yeah, it turned everything around for him. And he needs to get back to that mindset. And I think, you know, maybe a little release of pressure will do that. You know, and I think both those guys are doing the right thing. I think Murray taking a step back and I think Djokovic taking a step back is going to allow them to regain themselves. Maybe they've learned something from Federer, Nima. What do you think about that?
It's interesting because, Parsley, you touched on an excellent topic there, which is that reckless abandon. You know, you see a guy like Kyrgios going out there and just swinging for the fences, or a guy like Zverev, much younger in their careers, you know, a good decade to decade and a half in some instances compared to Federer, younger. So they can go out there, you see a guy like this guy, Casper Ruud, you know, young up-and-coming player, just taking massive cuts at everything, and you don't see these, you know, refined champions like the Djokovic's, the Wawrinka's, the Federer's, and the Nadal's doing that as much because, you know, they've been there now. They have a game style. They play with margin. And maybe Djokovic does need to go back to not playing with as much margin because the guy's talented enough, I think, to, you know, hit the cover off of a lot of his shots and they're still going to go into court. That's my opinion. And I think that, you know, if he does that a little bit, then he could get back to really dominating the sport because it's such a fine line here, you know. You go down 1 or 2% for whatever reason and stuff is going to change for you in a hurry. It's happened to Fed, it's happened to Nadal, it's happened to Djokovic, happened to Murray, happened to Wawrinka. So amazing, you know, just amazing how much it's going back and forth. But, you know, 2017 is definitely going to be very interesting and I'm super pumped for this tournament. Because I think there's going to be some good storylines, but I'm even more excited for the upcoming clay court season. Because I think you're going to see some really good battles out there. Because you see a guy like Kyrgios putting a little bit more effort into the sport. Jack Sock, you know, historically we haven't had Americans parsley do anything on the clay for a while now, right? I think he has the game style to definitely do some damage on the dirt. And with him not playing doubles anymore, I think that bodes well for him to really put forth a nice effort on the clay ensuing clay court season. But let's get down, you know, back to on point here with this draw and see how this breaks down. We have Stan the man as the number one seed. He's got potentially Zabios in his second round encounter with Lopez lurking, who's been struggling. Isner, who is, you know, again looking for a result. Maybe a fourth rounder with Zverev and a quarterfinals against either Kyrgios or Goffin. So spend a second here on Kyrgios, obviously somebody who I've been following now for a few years. Really putting together some passion out there. It looks like he's saying the right things. Massive bummer that he didn't play against Fed in that quarterfinals with some food poisoning, apparently, that he had to pull out with. But I have seen some videos and some pictures from him in Miami. He looks to be back to at least 90-95%, and he's still not going to play until Friday or Saturday, so he's got a long way to go until he's, you know, back on the match court. So I anticipate Nick to be back to 100%. But does he have enough to back it up, Parsa, and get to the quarters here and, you know, beat a guy like Goffin, who's going to be out there all day with him? You know, even a guy like Karlovic probably sees three breakers in that match and then maybe get by Stan and make the semifinals.
It'll be a difficult thing to do. You know, Kyrgios is a wild card, Nima. He could also just, you know, not show up for the first round match.
Yeah, he could lose his Zoomer in his first match. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve that sort of praise from me yet.
100% agree.
That I can rely on him to go deep in tournaments. And, you know, anyone who picks him right now to, let's say, win a tournament like this, is sort of going based on something that is a little bit of a fantasy, you know. If the stars align and the moon and the sun and the tides are all in line, then, you know, for five matches in a row, Kyrgios can play at a high level and win a tournament of this caliber anyway, which, by the way, doesn't have Murray or Djokovic in it. So I think, you know, it does make it a little bit more appealing, but I think still a very tremendously difficult thing. And you probably, the truth be told, you probably won't see me start picking him until he actually does it once, you know, Nima, because it's really hard to predict what he's going to do, because it's just something that he's sort of proven to be the unpredictable.
Yes.
And so we don't know exactly how that's going to work out, but I think he seems to be doing the right things, seems to be saying the right things, and seems to be maturing which we expect. And if that talent realizes Nima, wow, just that kid can play, that's for sure.
So I think when you look at this draw, we have two notable things. Kyrgios made the semis last year, and Goffin made the semis last year. So they're going to have some points to defend. They could face off in the fourth round. Does Goffin make another semis? I think it's possible, because I don't know what Stan's going to do here. Again, Stan is proven that he's a great champion, just made the finals of Indian Wells. Historically doesn't play that well during this time of the year. And I think that's, you're not going to see him go as deep as a lot of people think. And I think this is a bit of a wild card quarter, to be honest, because I could see Zverev making a deep run, Kyrgios, Goffin, or Wawrinka. Now we have to pick one. And, you know, most notably I do for myself. And I'm going to go with Goffin to make the semifinals here. And repeat as he did last year. What's your call?
I think that's a tremendous pick. I'm going to go with the young gun there, and I'm liking Zverev in this section. I think that I think things are rounding out. I think you're going to get a Wawrinka that's a little tired. You're getting a Isner that he can handle, and I think Kyrgios and Goffin are going to beat each other up, and I think Zverev is going to have a good quarterfinal matchup there, and maybe it's time for him to make a run.
Okay, and as we move to quarter number two, we have the man of the moment, and maybe forever, is Roger Federer as the number fourth seed. He's got Dominic Thiem as a sixth seed as his quarterfinal slated opponent. Tough match potentially against Del Potro in the third round, Batista Agut or Querrey in the fourth round for Fed, and then either Burdick, Mueller, or Thiem in the quarterfinals. I don't think you're going to see Federer back to back here. That's my opinion. And I think he's got Wimbledon, like you said, with Murray in his rear view. That's going to be a massive. And he won Indian Wells. He's won the Australian. He's feeling amazing. There's no reason to doubt any of his confidence. I think Delpo will take him out if they meet up in the third round. And then it's going to be interesting for me to see how workhorse Thiem does, because he's been putting in a lot of miles this year, already played like 8 or 9 tournaments, which is crazy. And these conditions, he's a super fit guy, but that meter's got to be running low, especially on the pounding of the hard courts. And I have a good feeling that Delpo is going to do something here, Parsa. And I'm going to take him to reach the semifinals. What's your take?
That's a tremendous pick, and a tremendous thing to try to, again, predict. We've got a hard job here this week.
Yes.
Change of conditions, guys that could be tired and we don't know, and two great champions out of the tournament, which you'd probably pick Murray and Djokovic, let's say, to be in the final. So how's this going to work out? I have no idea, but I'm going to go with someone just a wild card, and I think it's going to be a strange one. I'm going to go with Roberto Bautista Agut. I think that he's the kind of guy, and I think that's the theme I'm going to go with this week, just so you know, for the rest of this, is the guy who has some pliability and can play in different conditions day and night.
Yes.
And I think Bautista Agut is the kind of guy that's going to play consistent, tough brand of tennis. I think he's going to be have a tremendous opportunity to make up for or to take advantage of people's errors or of people's slight downfalls in a certain match. And I think that he can expose those opportunities. And hey, talk about a little bit of need. I mean, Bautista Agut needs a tremendous result to continue his quest to be into the top 10. So maybe this is it right here.
Yeah,
Bautista Agut for me.
And he's one of those guys that I have the utmost respect for, because he just puts on his hard hat every day, gets out there, laces them up, and he's going to give you 110% every single match. And as anything, as a fan or as a player, as a coach, as anything, you got to respect that to the utmost. And we definitely wish him well. So moving now to quarter number three, we have Rafa Nadal, who is again looking for a win. He hasn't won here, and he's never won here. So that's, to me, an X factor here with Rafa. And it was a beautiful thing that he said, Parsa, after he lost to Fed. And I don't know if you saw his press conference. I had posted it. And he said, I have no... And this is coming from the humble Nadal, where, that's another thing I'm going to get into in a second here, Parsa. But you look at Nadal, and he never talks about himself. And I think he's got to, some degree, put that humbleness aside at this stage in his career and say, listen, I'm kind of the man here. You know, I've won 14 slams. I've won on everything. Let's get it going, man. And I think this is going to be a good draw for him. He did nothing here last year because, you remember, he had to pull out against Zoomer with a heat illness. And hopefully he's back to normal now and he's ready to go. He's got potentially Cole Schreiber, Johnson, who I think he can take out on this surface. Dimitrov, who's going to be tough in the fourth round. Jack Sock, who's coming in with some form. And then we have Raonic, who's a question mark. Had to pull out of the Delray final, as well as IW. And then we got Misha Zarev, who's going to have some, you know, slicing and dicing and net approaches. Tough quarter here. But for me, I like Rafa Nadal to go through to the semifinals. What do you have?
Tremendous analyzing there, Nima.
Yeah.
definitely love, I think Nadal is the guy for me here as well.
Yeah.
This has got opportunity Nadal written all over it. The emoji with the heart and the other heart is the eye.
Yeah.
This has got Nadal all over it. Maybe that's a slight preview of what I think, but I'm going with Rafa as well in the semis.
Okay. And as we move to the final quarter before we sign off for today, we have Kai Nishikori Parsa as the number 2 seed. So think about that for a second. And then we have Marin Cilic as the 7th. We have Cuevas, 21, who had a tremendous result last week in IW. Lucas Pui, who I think is going to put forth some good stuff here. Carreno Busta, who's under the radar, put together tremendous 5 or 6 months. Verdasco, who's been playing some good ball, and then Gil Simon, who's returning from injury last week. So again, lots can happen here. Looked like Nishikori ran out of gas last week against Sock, which was very disappointing for him. I think he really wanted to be in that semifinals. Does he get through here? You know, he trains at the Bollettieri's Academy at IMG, so he's completely used to the Florida heat and humidity. He's the logical pick. He's the pick that you would really be pressed to go against, especially considering these conditions. And it's for that reason that I have Nishikori going through to the semifinals. What do you have, my friend?
Yeah, and also, you know, Nishikori is also like a different class of a player.
Yes.
These guys are all very good. Pui could do something, but Nishikori is in a class of his own in this particular section. And for that reason, it's Nishikori for me. He's got the talent to definitely get deep here and get to that semi against Nadal for me.
Okay. And Parsa, now as we round out this draw, I have Nishikori versus Nadal. I have Nadal going through on that one in 3 sets. And then on the top half, I had Goffin getting through to the semifinals to face Del Potro. I have Del Potro taking out Goffin. And I'm giving the people what they want here in Miami, Parsa. We have a Del Potro versus Nadal potential final. And I have Rafa winning his first ever Miami Open title in 3 thrilling sets against the Tower of Tandil, Del Potro. What do you have?
On the top there, I've got Zverev versus Bautista Agut. And it's shaping out to be a Zverev in the final for me. Nadal Nishikori in the other semi, and I've got Nadal advancing through there, and we're going to have a young versus old going on there, and I think it's going to be the first time. You're right. It could be a first time either way.
Yes.
But I think it's going to be Nadal going through. I think he's going to hold this title.
Yeah, I would love to see that for him, because he's worked so hard. He's lost in the final, you know, 2 or 3 times in the past, and you know, he really wants this one under his belt and loves the city and he completely deserves it. So we'll see how that transpires. Okay, guys, so that's it for Parsa and myself this week. Parsa and I will be back to review this tournament as it ends on April 2nd. In the meantime, you can follow Parsa at Parsa Samuel on Twitter, myself at Tennis Connected. You can also download this podcast on iTunes as well as listen to it on tennisconnected.com. Make sure to also follow us on Instagram and our Facebook page, and check out the brand new tennisconnected.com. And Parsa, thank you so much for joining us this week. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. Be good, enjoy the event, and for anybody looking to get down to the ensuing clay court season, make sure to hit up Top Notch Tennis Tours for all your ticket and travel. Be good, enjoy Miami. We shall talk soon. Bye. Thank you.